It seems like no matter what box you punch, it will always lead you to Christ. The destination is always the same. For if you look in the Bible, it doesn't matter what page you look on. It doesn't matter what book you study. You'll find that it always takes you to Christ.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. And I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk. And that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Matthew chapter 2. If you're not in the Christmas spirit yet, you have a problem. I'm trying to help you fix that tonight, but what a great season it is. Matthew chapter 2, and just the first two verses of this chapter for our text tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" This past May, our college made an investment in some GPS systems for our college vans to use during the summer ensemble tours. As many of you know, we have six groups that go out. This summer we'll have seven going out all across the country and singing and ministering in churches and camps and different places, presenting, of course, Christ and also the ministry of West Coast Baptist College. And they travel thousands and thousands of miles from church to church and camp to camp. And in years past, Mrs. Goddard has prepared for us a huge three-ring binder notebook with all the maps from one church to the next. And we almost need a trailer just to carry the book. What a blessing when the college invested in those GPS systems that we could just place on the front window and punch in the address, and it would take us through a friendly voice to the destination. And it was my first exposure to a GPS. I had heard about them. I had seen them here and there in different vehicles, but I had never used one. And so that first day, I asked the guys in my group, "Any of you guys use one of these?" And of course, college kids are pretty good with technology, so they got the box out. And in a matter of a few minutes, we had it up and running and were enjoying the wonderful voice of American Jill. She guided us from place to place, and it really was quite interesting and quite enlightening for me, this modern technology. And I was thankful not to have to have a notebook in my lap, and I could just listen to those directions and get from place to place. Well, after a couple of weeks, I left the tour and started out in some revival meetings and headed to Tampa, Florida. And of course, it's not hard to find Tampa. I mean, you just get on I-10, go to sleep, and put the car in gear, and it goes. And you end up in Tampa eventually. I got to Tampa, and the entire time I was driving, I kind of missed American Jill, you know? I just kind of had gotten used to that companion voice along the way and kind of missed that, you know? And I thought maybe one of these days I could purchase one of those GPS, or maybe if I hinted to my wife around my birthday or something, perhaps she would get me one. And I kind of coveted that little device. I got to Tampa, and that Sunday afternoon, the pastor and I were in his vehicle headed to lunch, and he had a GPS on his window, just like the ones that we had in our van. And I just made a comment. I said, "How do you like your GPS?" He said, "Oh, I love it. I love it." And I told him how the college had purchased these, and we had them in the vans. And I said, "First time I ever used one, I really enjoyed it." That was about all I said. The next day, as I arrived for a soul winning time, he handed me a bag, and he said, "I heard you got lost." I said, No, I get lost. He said, "Well, this will help you next time you do." And I opened it up, and he had bought for me a GPS. Well, I tell you, American Jill was back. I was so excited. I took her out of the bag and placed her on the window, and punched in all the proper codes, and I was off and running. And I'll tell you, I have enjoyed that system. In fact, Eric traveled with me for about 4 weeks this summer, and it was our goal to get her confused. We enjoyed when she would have to say, recalculating, recalculating, recalculating. It was our goal to see how fast we could have her say it over and over again. We were preaching at one particular camp, and we had a little time in the afternoon, and I said to Eric, I said, jump in the car. Let's go see if we can get American Jill lost. I knew some back roads around the camp, some places that no man had ever gone before with a car, and we got her lost. She said recalculating about 8 times in a row and then just went silent. I said, we did it. She has no idea where we are. Really is quite an amazing device. I understand Brother Danny Coates, when he was in the military, did some of the initial work on the military GPS system. But you know, long before Brother Coates or our military, or certainly the modern technology that we know today, devised this global positioning satellite system, I believe here in the Bible we find the first GPS. As God had placed in the sky a star that would guide these wise men to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if some of you have used a GPS, you know that when you pull up the menu board, there are a number of little boxes that you can punch in to take you to the desired destination. You may need to find a restaurant. You can punch the restaurant box, or you may be looking for a hotel, or you may be looking for some kind of an amusement or a mall or some certain kind of store, a pharmacy, and you can simply find the box and punch it in, and it will take you to that destination. You know, I got to thinking about that. With God, it seems like no matter what box you punch, it will always lead you to Christ. The destination is always the same. For if you look in the Bible, it doesn't matter what page you look on, it doesn't matter what book you study, you'll find that it always takes you to Christ. If you look at creation, you look at nature, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. You can't look at creation. You can't go out at night and look up in the stars or see an ocean or a sunset. You can't look at it without realizing there is a God. And the very nature itself leads you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Asmussen teaches a lot of history classes and has for decades now. But certainly history is nothing more than his story. Wherever you look in the annals of history, you find God. But tonight, in light of what we have already experienced and heard, let's pull up the menu boxes and let's click on Christmas music. And you know, as you click on that box of Christmas music that we've enjoyed tonight being played and sung, that Christmas music leads you to the destination of Christ. But I suppose, as any GPS system has the ability to take you on different routes depending on where you're going, sometimes even would provide an alternate route, as you plug in Christian music, I believe that perhaps God could take us on several different routes that would lead us to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Christian music could take us down the route of joy. We heard sung tonight in a couple of different arrangements the wonderful Christmas song, Joy to the World. I think when Christmas rolls around, when we turn the page of the calendar to December, one of the first songs we often think of that is associated with Christmas is Joy to the World. And the joy of Christmas. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The Christmas story is all about the message of joy. Why? Because Christ had arrived. The Messiah had come, and it was a message of joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." Man today looks for his happiness. He looks for the thrills. He looks for joy and satisfaction in all the things that the world has, but he keeps searching because it can't be found there. Joy is found in the destination of Jesus Christ. This past weekend, I was preaching up in Oakland, California with Pastor Fong, and Sunday morning, he told me as we met for prayer before the service, he said, "Brother Getch, I had the privilege yesterday of leading a couple to Christ, and they promised they would be here today." He said, "I'm praying they'll walk the aisle and let folks know that they got saved." Well, we went out for Sunday school, and sure enough, they had come. And he was elated. Here was a couple in their probably late 50s, early 60s. They had trusted Christ there at their kitchen table the day before, and they'd come to church. And as I gave the invitation after the morning service, they indeed walked the aisle and met the pastor at the front. And what a joy that was his as he introduced them to the church family and told how they'd gotten saved the day before. And the pastor was excited and big smiles on their faces as they were presenting themselves now for baptism. After the service was over, we got in Pastor Fong's car and we were going to get a bite to eat. And on the way, he called the daughter of this gentleman that had gotten saved the day before. She was a Christian and she lived in another town, and he called her to let her know that her dad had come to church and that he had gotten saved, and she said, "Oh, I already knew that." She said, "He called me." And he said, "You won't believe this, but," he said, "I got saved yesterday, and today I went to church and I enjoyed it." And she said, "Pastor, I never would have thought I would ever have heard my dad say that he would have enjoyed church." She said, "He's hardly gone to church a day in his life." What made the difference? The destination of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, it's in him, and it's on that route to him that we find true joy. But I believe we would also find, as we head to the destination of Christ, we would perhaps be taken down the route of peace. We've heard tonight the old Christmas carol, "Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright." In Luke chapter 2, once again, the Bible says in verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Oh, we live in a day that's filled with war, it's filled with crime, filled with violence and gangs and destruction and unrest and fear. But the Bible says the Lord will bless his people with peace. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Jesus himself said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You see, as you find Christ, when he is your destination, and you listen to the music of Christmas as it leads you down that route of peace that is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago, I was preaching up in the Central Valley of California, revival, and one night they had a special number. It was a men's quartet. And these men came up to the pulpit and they began to sing, and as I listened to the song, I couldn't help but notice that in this quartet, there was an African-American. There was a Hispanic gentleman. There was a Filipino man. And there was a Caucasian. And I thought to myself as I observed that, I thought, you know, outside these walls tonight, those four ethnic groups are at odds with each other in various gangs on the streets. But inside the church, they're singing together. Why? Because they arrived at the destination of Christ. And that destination has along its route peace. But I believe if we were to once again hit the menu button of Christian music, it might take us along the route of joy to Christ. It might take us along the route of peace. But certainly another alternate route might be the route of hope. Don't you love Handel's Messiah and that hallelujah chorus? And he shall reign forever and ever. Oh, we live in a day where it's easy to become pessimistic, to become almost a fatalist, a skepticist as we think about the world and all of the problems and difficulties of life. And yet with Christ, the future is as bright as the promises of God, William Carey said. Why? Because the message of Christ is one of hope. When the shepherds heard the message of the angel, they made it known to all saying around them that the Messiah had come. They let everyone know. Why? Because it was a message of hope. You may feel discouraged tonight and defeated. You may feel like everything is going wrong in your life, but I'm here to tell you that if you'll let the Christmas music lead you to Christ, it will lead you along the path of hope. Let Christmas music guide you to Christ, along the path of joy, the route of peace, the route of hope. My father-in-law is 92 years old. At age 62, he trusted Christ as Savior. He trusted Christ just 2 weeks after his wife had passed away. She said on her deathbed, "If my death will bring my husband to Christ, I'm ready to go." Now, I'll never forget in the living room that day as Mr. Brock bowed his head and asked Jesus to save him. He looked up at me after saying amen. And he said, "John, I have one regret." It took me by surprise. I had never heard anyone say something like that right after they got saved. And I said, "Dad, what would it be?" He said that I didn't do this a long time ago. You know, I've never met anyone that regretted getting saved. But I've met a lot of people along the way that regretted not doing it sooner. And tonight, if you're here without Christ, would you let the message of this Christmas music lead you to the destination of Christ? Oh, along the way, you'll enjoy peace and joy and hope. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I thought as how the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along through unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And in despair, I bowed my head. "There's no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Yet pealed the bells more loud and deep. "God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. Of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Let the songs of Christmas help you to understand there's joy tonight, there's peace tonight, there's hope, but it's not found in the world. It's not found in the festivals of the season. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And the Christmas music will lead you to that destination.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.